Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And the name of this program is Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And what we'll be talking about today is Valentine's Day. I'll talk about St. Valentine's, and also I'll talk about what Scripture says about finding a good wife and finding a good husband, because I figure somewhere out there in the listening world that if you're listening to this program, you might be interested in knowing what makes a good wife and what makes a good husband, because some people out there might be thinking of popping the question or going on a really big date to go on the next step. Or you're taking your spouse out and you want to praise your spouse for being that good wife or being that good husband. So where does it say this in Scripture? And I'm not bringing this up so you can use it against your spouse if you have one that doesn't seem to fit the criteria as well as you'd hope, but then that begs the question, what about your own self? And so with that, I'm also going to compare and contrast the great King Solomon, the person who's supposed to be the most wisest, but how did he end up with 700 wives and 300 concubines if he was so wise? In fact, I'm going to take that further. I want to read the scripture, which supposedly is written by him, because it says it was, from Proverbs, where he actually talks about warning against loose women and what did his father give him advice. And he gives some, you know, fatal attractions of adultery. And so it made me curious, how in the world did he write all this and yet fell into the very same sins that he was warning people about? Not that I'm pointing out his hypocrisy. I mean, we all are. We're all sinners, aren't we? But it just shows how weak we are if we turn ourselves away from God and his commandments and his love and mercy. So stay tuned for that and more on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. So let's start off like we normally do with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. You know, since I'm calling into the studio at WTMR, we do have a line that's available if you're interested in calling. So if you have a question, a comment, a prayer request, or you just want to bring up something else or something that if you had an interesting point that you wanted to let the audience know, to please call us. And here's the number. I'm going to try to do this at every 15 minutes. So it's 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. So again, if you have any questions, any comments, or any prayer requests, that to please call in. All right, so let's go into St. Valentine's. And who is he, and how is that related to St. Valentine's Day? And so I'm reading here from you, so you can look it up yourself, from Catholic.org, and they have a nice section there for the saints of the day. And they have St. Valentine's feast day listed as February 14th, meaning, you know, that's the day that heaven rejoices for that particular saint. And he actually was martyred, in other words, murdered, killed for his belief in God on February 14th. And some say it was the year 269. There's also debate that was later on, what, 270 or 273 or 280, something like that. But they don't have the exact dates correct. In fact, they don't have much information on him. So he officially was taken off the list of the, it's called the Roman Martyrology. It's like the, it's the official list that we have on the calendar where it will say, you know, such and such saint's feast day, that they're, we would recognize him, like St. John the Baptist. You know, we would have him on June 24th when he was born, and when he died was, you know, August 29th. So things like that. And so for this saint, even though we celebrate on February 14th, we still celebrate him because of the effect he's had all around the world for this courtly love. And so there's not a lot of reliable stories about him, but we do definitely know that he did live and he did die. He was martyred, and we know that he was martyred on February 14th. So with that said, that there's some conflicting stories, I'm going to read some parts here from Catholic.org about St. Valentine's. And so he's really officially known as St. Valentine of Rome. And he was a Roman saint. And even though there's not a lot to be known about him, they do have him buried in the north of Rome on the Via Flaminia. And so he supposedly was the bishop of three different places. One is called Terni, the other one's Aemilia, and the other one's called Narnia. You might be familiar with that name from a book from the Chronicles of Narnia. This C.S. Lewis wrote, you know, very trilogies about that, where we have the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So that's not, I don't think that's the place, but because that was a fictional one. But he, St. Valentine, was the bishop of these three places, if this particular story was is accurate. Again, there's some conflicting evidence of where he was at. But anyway, so this story is the first common story that usually goes around, and that he was put on house arrest by a judge. And the judge's name is Asterius, like he's so austere. So this judge, Asterius, was the one that put him under house arrest. Well, it turned out they were discussing, you know, religion and faith together, and it got to the point where the judge was really wanted to test Valentine if really Jesus was God, and how good was his faith in Jesus. So he had this contest of sorts where he presented his own daughter who was blind, and he essentially said that if Jesus is God and if you have this faith in him, believe in him, then go ahead, let's see, restore her sight. And then the judge made this promise that if he succeeded in restoring his own daughter's sight, that he would do anything for Valentine's. And lo and behold, St. Valentine, who is a bishop, he's got the full power and authority of the Catholic Church behind him, he puts his hands on the girl's eyes, the blind daughter, and her vision was totally restored. And it appears it was restored not only miraculously, but it was instantaneously, because sometimes, you know, remember the story about Jesus, how when he put mud on the person's eyes, he then looked and it was blurry, like he would see like tree trunks, and Jesus asked him to wash again, and then it was clear. So it took a little bit, but here it doesn't say how long, but apparently it most likely was instantaneous. Well, this judge, Asterius, it sounds like austere, like he was austere. He was really like shocked, of course. He was humbled, and yet he obeyed the request that St. Valentine made, and he actually then broke, Asterius destroyed all the idols in his house. He fasted 3 days, And he became baptized along with his family and all the relatives that were considered part of his household. And there was 43 members. And so actually this actually kind of goes into the teachings that we have, the biblical teachings, that we know that you can baptize people in your whole household, which would include the children and babies, because there's debate in Protestant denominations about that you have to wait for a child to be older and to be the age of reason or an adult to be able to be baptized. But here, if this legend is true, that his family was baptized and 44 other members of that his relatives and household was. So odds are there might have been a baby. Who knows? But we definitely know also the same thing in Scripture about baptism, where all of one's household, the person there, I forget his name at the moment, it involves baptizing the children as well. When I find that, Stephanus. So it's 1 Corinthians 1:16. I'm just looking on my little sheet here as far as where I can find that scripture verse about infant baptism. And it was 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16, that the whole family was baptized. And it's also in Acts 16, verse 33, that he and all his family were baptized at once. And then also Acts 16, verse 15, that the lady was baptized and all her household. So there's three different references there in Scripture that shows that baptism from one's whole household, and would it assume even the children. All right, let me go back to here, the St. Valentine's, that he had this, God gave the miracle of restoring the child's vision through the intercession of St. Valentine. And so what happened, even though Asterius followed Valentine's request, St. Valentine was later arrested again for trying to convert other people to Catholicism. And so he was now sent to Rome under the Emperor Claudius II. And according to this story, that it's believed that it was written in this Nuremberg Chronicle, so that's where you find this story, and it shows that he was imprisoned also, but for what reason? For marrying Christian couples, and he started aiding all these Christians who were being persecuted by Claudius II in Rome. So both of those acts of marrying Catholic Christian couples, and then helping Christians to avoid persecution, those are serious crimes, and so he was arrested for that. But here's like the similar story. Valentine was now interacting with the emperor, and he was convincing the emperor about the truth of the Christian Catholic faith. And Claudius, the emperor, became so enraged that he sentenced Valentine to death, commanding him to renounce his faith or to be beaten with clubs and beheaded. Well, I mean, does this ring a bell where, you know, we have Herod, how he was really intrigued with John the Baptist, and he would listen to him, but it wasn't enough to change his heart. And yet, you know, he honored the really crazy request from his niece after she did a dance, Salome, to have John the Baptist's head cut off. And he honored that, but he didn't honor the different preaching that John the Baptist had. So it's really weird stuff here. So anyway, let me continue with St. Valentine. He was refused to renounce his faith, of course, and so he actually was then executed, and they have the place that it was at the gate. It was called Flaminian Gate, on February 14, 269. And so this is, you know, this is amazing that we have St. Valentine's. Again, he's the patron saint. There's other stories about him. I won't go into that. But he's the patron saint, again, of engaged couples, happy marriages, also, you know, beekeepers. And then I don't know why they list for fainting and then greeting. But, of course, he's the patron saint of those who are in love or lovers. He's also the patron saint of plague and travelers or young people. So there's many different things that he has. You can ask his help so then he can go to Jesus, Jesus being the only mediator between God and man. But that doesn't mean we can't go to Jesus, right? So we can ask somebody who's on the inside, in other words, who's inside heaven. So we can ask St. Valentine, St. Valentine, can you go to Jesus so you can go before the Father and mediate, being that one mediator for us? Since you're there already with Jesus in heaven, can you help us? So that's the kind of mindset that we have in the Catholic Church. So anyway, St. Valentine is represented with pictures of birds and roses on his feast day. And so that's another thing that, you know, people may be getting different, you know, flowers for one's loved one on that day. And if you're, whether it's going to be your spouse or the one that you're engaged with right now or the one that you're dating seriously, and or you may be thinking of popping the question. So ask St. Valentine's help. All right. So let's get to some of the other Bible verses here about how to pick a good wife, and then we can compare it to what King Solomon said, and I'll read some scripture verses. Actually, it's the first reading that us Catholics will have all over the world to read this coming Sunday, but if any of you want to go ahead of time and read it, it's from 1 Kings chapter 11. And so, wait, let me just give out the number again here, because we're about 15 minutes into the show, or 18 minutes now. So if you're interested in calling, to sign, sealed, and delivered here on WTMR 800 AM. The number here is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. All right. So if one looks at Proverbs, this is one of my favorites. When I grew up, you know, I had a conversion. As really a reversion. I was always Catholic all my life. But when I took it extra serious, where I decided to read the Bible that whole year, and actually I'm redoing that again this year too, like reading the Bible in a year, then I didn't know any better how to read it. I just read it from, you know, Genesis to Revelation, just straight up. But there is a technique about reading the Bible in a most chronological order. But anyway, when I came across Proverbs, these are like the wisdom books. These are like gold. And when I came across this as a 13 and 14-year-old, it was like, I'm going to remember this, so whenever I meet the one for me, I'll know I can identify who that is, because this is what Scripture is saying what I should do. And so I took it to heart. I took it personally, and I thank God and the Blessed Mother for helping me find the wife of my life, and she's a blessing, and she's more precious than gold. I'm going to start choking up here. All right, let me read Proverbs 18. Verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now, that's from openbible.info as far as that is. but let me just read it from the New American Version. So, or let me go back again here and find that scripture verse. So Proverbs 18, verse 22. It says here, to find a wife is to find happiness, a favor granted by the Lord. And so the key thing here is that we have to understand that it's from the Lord that we get a good wife. And so the thing is to ask him for that wife. So if you're looking for that wife, the Lord knows what's best for you. And this actually brings to mind, you know, like, is there a particular one for you? You know, a particular woman for you, or is there a particular man? And in my opinion, I would think, yes, there is definitely that. And so, you know, that the Lord is the one who provides this. And that's why I wanted to specifically cite the Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. So kind of think about it this way to remember it. Like, if you're 18 years old, right, you're like either a senior in high school or a freshman in college, and, you know, you're thinking about, like, about the girl you want to meet, you know, since you're about 18, or the one you want to marry, because, you know, that might be considered the age where a person wants to get married. But anyway, of course, many people may get married later, you know, closer to 30 nowadays. I got married really young. My wife and I, she was 21, you know, out of college when we got married. And so here it says again in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, again, it says, to find a wife is to find happiness, a favor granted by the Lord. And so the way to look at that is, you know, she will bring you happiness, especially if it's from the Lord. So that's the key. How can you be able to find someone that you know that will bring you that happiness but comes from the Lord? Because many people make the mistake of thinking, oh, she's so fun or he's so fun, and we could talk about anything, and, you know, we have very things and so many things in common. Well, that's great. However, is she the one that's actually, or he, if it's the husband you're looking for, is he or she the one helping you get closer to God? Because then you know that person is coming from God as a gift of God. If that person is leading you away from God, that's a good telltale sign that this is not coming from the Lord. And so how are you going to receive favor from the Lord if the person you're seriously dating or you're seriously thinking of getting engaged, let's say this Saturday on Valentine's Day, is the one leading you away from the Lord? How will you gain favor, right? So here's another, now from Proverbs 19, verse 14. Proverbs 19, verse 14, it says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents. Now, well, that's fine and good. Hopefully you don't want your parents dead just so you can get their house or their money. Not like the two sons there, like the prodigal son essentially wanted his dad dead, but didn't say it. He just wanted his half of the inheritance. And so what did he do with it? He took that money and spent it on, you know, bad living, right? Wine, women, and whatever the last term there. So anyway, it says Proverbs 19, verse 14, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, so you guys out there, if you're looking for a wife, is she good? Is she bringing you closer to the Lord? And is she prudent? Does she have spiritual wisdom, not the ways of the street per se, you know, the ways of the world. Yes, the Lord said we have to be as gentle as doves and sly as foxes, something like that, right? But we shouldn't be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so the key thing here is, like, so for all you women out there who are still looking for the right one, try to be this one, that be this type of wife that is being described here in Proverbs. Okay, it goes on in Proverbs 12, verse 14. It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. You ever think about bone cancer, or you ever think of like osteoporosis, or you ever think about rickets? I mean, like the bones are just so brittle it can break. Well, same thing, because husband and wife, when they are married, God says that they're not to be separated, right? They cannot be divorced. They're one flesh now. They're one body, one flesh. It's a mystery, okay? And so when a wife is noble, has a noble character, it's like putting a crown on the man, because both are now king and queen of their home. Because there's a nobility, there's a certain honor and respect that both husband and wife are faithful to each other, and they're not disgracing each other, which would then break the bones of the husband, who really is the head of the household, because that's scriptural what it says. And then, you know, we know that Proverbs also talks about in chapter 31. It's pretty long, but I'm not going to read it all. It says it's like 21 or 22 different verses, but it talks about it here. I'll read a little bit. It says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, no harm, all the days of her life. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Oh, see, when I read this, I think of my wife. It's just how the Lord has blessed me. And I can't thank God enough for having a good wife. So that encourages us men to be that kind of man, to have that kind of woman that God is destined for you to have. If he destines you to have a particular woman, just like the woman has a particular man, so save yourself for that person. Make yourself the best you can be for that person, for the sake of God and for the love of God. And the Lord will bless you abundantly. And so seek God first, just, and all these other things will be yours besides. So some of you may be lonely. Some of you may be lacking hope. That is there somebody there for you? Is there somebody that loves you? Of course, God loves you. He's the family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And his mother loves you too. Jesus gave us his mother as our spiritual mother. That's why he told John to take care of her, but also symbolically for us to bring her into our home, just like John took the Blessed Mother. So ask the Lord and ask her mom, and they will help you, just like they helped me. And so I'm at the bottom of the hour now, so we're going to take a break, and I'm going to give out the number first, so just in case you want to call in after the break, please do. We'd love to hear from you. The number here is 856-962-8178. One more time, 856-962-8178. Again, call in to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM. Let's take a break.
You're You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And this program is called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. We've been talking about St. Valentine's Day, but also we went into talking about what makes a good wife, which also in turn is what makes a good husband. And so we'll continue on that same realm. I kind of mixed the two together because it's complementary how I said that we're Proverbs. I mean, just read that book. Whether you're a teenager and listening to this, anyone listening out there, I just want to thank you because, you know, you could be on your phone, you can be on YouTube or Instagram or whatever social media, and instead you're choosing to listen through whatever your app or the radio or, streaming. So I thank you because your time, you're using your precious time to listen to us here. So I just thank you for that. And so, but God's word is more precious than any of those other entertainment out there. So that's why I'm trying to deliver through these airwaves God's holy word and his wisdom that is beyond all compare. And so I wanted to share here again from what King Solomon said and wrote. And, when he inherited the kingdom, if I understand properly, he was just in his teenage years. And he reigned for 40 years, just like his father David, King David, reigned for 40 years. And David's last words to Solomon, it's very touching. It's in 1 Kings chapter 2. And he actually says, when the time of David's death drew near, he gave these instructions to Solomon, his son. He said, I am going the way of all the earth, meaning he's going to die, he's going to be buried. And then he continues, and it's called, be strong and be a man. And he tells Solomon, keep the mandate of the Lord. So he's telling him to be strong and be a man. Yes, you're going to be sad that I'm going to die, but you're a young man. But be a man. You have to grow up fast. And he gives them the next most important thing. Keep the mandate of the Lord. In other words, keep the commandments. He says, keep the mandate of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, commands, ordinances, and decrees as they are written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in whatever you do and wherever you turn, and that the Lord may fulfill the word he spoke concerning me. If your sons so conduct themselves that they walk before me in faithfulness with their whole heart and soul, there shall never be wanting someone of your line on the throne of Israel. Now notice, that was a big if. So the Lord, you know, had said to David that if your sons conduct themselves that walk before me in faithfulness, and it says with your whole heart and soul. So the key thing is that they had to follow the Lord with their whole heart and soul. And so, again, anyone out there listening, you know, don't turn away from the Lord. He wants us to follow him like David. David was a man after God's own heart. And so David gave the keys to the kingdom in that sense that, Solomon, you're inheriting this. You're not even like the firstborn. I think he was like the 10th born, if I'm not mistaken, of all the other brothers. They were disqualified, and David had the preference to have Solomon as the next king. He chose him. So my point is that when he gave his kingship to Solomon, he gave him what was contingent. It's a big if. All right. So now let's skip. I just gave the verse from, it was 1 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to skip to chapter 11. Now, again, if anybody was interested in calling or had a question or comment, please do call at 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. All right, so this chapter 11 in the first book of Kings, this is actually the first reading for all those who go to Catholic Mass this coming weekend. And so let me read this. It's kind of long, but it's very relevant. So bear with me. It says, when Solomon was old, his wives had turned his heart. Notice that. We compare that to chapter 2, where his dad, on his dying breath, is telling Solomon keep your heart and soul towards God. And here it is. It says in chapter 11, when Solomon was old, his wives had turned his heart to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord. See, bad sign. So that's why I was giving you all these examples, that whoever you choose, the man you're going to choose, the woman you're going to choose, is this person going to turn your heart away from the Lord? Does this guy or girl that you're interested in, even dating, courting, engaging, is this person have strange gods before the true, one true God? In other words, is their God their own self? Are they into their own self and their own, you know, narcissistic, prideful way, just interested in how they look, the material things, the wealth, the car, the money, the house, the job, you know, or is it entertainment? Is there most important thing in their life? Or even exercise can be a god to the person, right? Or a nutrition that's like more important than God himself. So it says here, again, that these wives had turned his heart, Solomon's heart, to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord. With the Lord is God, and his heart, and the heart of his father David has been. In other words, he didn't have the heart that his father had, a heart that was searching for God, on God's own heart. Now, it said here that he was adoring the false gods. I don't want to say their name. Now, some of you know the reason why I named this program signed, sealed, and delivered because, again, I was one of the few doctors in the entire nation officially part of the exorcist team. And so I don't like giving notoriety to the names of these false gods, but you can read it there if you want. So anyway, to me, it's like giving them likes or letting them more popular by saying their name, and I don't want to say their name. Anyway, so there's these two different false gods, and so it said here that he would follow these, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did not follow them unreservedly. In other words, he just did it unabashedly, like with no restraint. He just, served all of them. He essentially built a pagan temple across the temple he made for God. I mean, you don't do that. You don't even. He's the one that made the glorious temple, the second temple. And of all things, he builds literally another temple for a false god across the street, if you will. Anyway, he does this for his foreign wives. So the key thing here also is that he did this for his foreign wives. He burned incense and he made sacrifices to their gods. And what kind of sacrifices are these? This is going to sound crazy. It's like to the sacrifice to the false gods of abortion. It's the same false gods that we hear of starts with the vein M. They're false gods. And so the Lord, therefore, became angry with Solomon because literally they were doing human sacrifice. They were literally offering up the children and killing their children. So in fact, the same readings that us Catholics who go to Mass, we're going to go and read Psalm 106. And it says in Psalm 106, it actually says there specifically that they served their idols, which became a snare for them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. There you have it, Psalm 108. And so it colors it in here that what was Solomon allowing to be done is sons and daughters to be sacrificed to demons. And how is that in modern terms? It's abortion. It's called, elective abortion. I'm not talking about miscarriage or spontaneous abortions. I'm not talking about miscarriages or what's also known medically as spontaneous, but I'm talking about elective abortions. And so here it is, and it goes, therefore the Lord became angry with Solomon. Why? Because his heart was turned away from the Lord. Let not your heart be turned away from our Lord. Who is the most important person to you? If even this guy or the girl is more important to you than God himself, you got your priorities wrong. Now, listen to this. You ever see that bumper sticker where it says, God is my co-pilot? Even that is wrong. God should not be in your, in the passenger seat to your right when you're driving. Actually, he should be the driver. You should be the navigator, sitting in the shotgun seat, the seat to the right. And so it goes here that his heart was turned away from the Lord. And what this reading also says is that the Lord appeared to him twice. So the Lord forbade him this very act of committing idolatry. In other words, sacrificing women and children, girls and boys, to these false gods. He appeared to Solomon. Okay? And that's what it says here. Who appeared to him twice. He didn't give him just one chance. He gave him a second chance. And so then the Lord and Solomon still didn't obey. So what did the Lord say to Solomon? Since this is what you want, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I enjoined on you. So what's the consequence? The Lord said, I will deprive you of the kingdom. He's going to tear that kingdom away from him and then give it to your servant. And I will not do this during your lifetime. Why? Well, because for the sake of your father, it is your son who I will deprive. And so remember, the kingdom was split. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And Jeroboam had the 10 tribes, and Rehoboam had the two in the south, Judah and Benjamin. Anyway, so he says, I will leave your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David and of Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. So he didn't do this for the sake of Solomon. He did this for the sake of David, because David was a man after God's own heart, where Solomon, he had the most wisdom, but yet, well, if he's so wise, then why did he turn his heart and soul away from God the Father? He saw the glory of King David. He just had to follow in his footsteps. So how many of us sons out there have really dishonored our own father, our earthly father, and then in turn dishonored our heavenly father by not turning our hearts to the Lord, the one Lord, King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Christ the King? So here, if you turn to Proverbs, you will see it starts off chapter 1. Again, let me just, again, give the number here in case somebody else wants to call, somebody wants to call, has a question, comment, concern, what have you. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So the book of Proverbs, it starts off by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And he says that men may know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight. So, and he goes on he's calling people to wisdom because he was given this gift. You know, and he was given this gift because he desired to be able to rule his people properly instead of wishing for a long life and health and all that. And so God decided to give not only long life and health and wealth, but everything else, because he was wanting to please God. But he later on turned, why? He turned his heart and soul away from the Lord because of the women he chose. And so, not to put the foreign women down, but what he was essentially, what God is actually saying is, don't choose somebody that's going to draw you away from him, right? And so that's a huge whopping key. Is the person that you're thinking of getting in a relationship or in a relationship now, or you want to get married, is that person or not leading you away from Christ? Are you helping that person get closer to Christ? If you both aren't, then you better get right with God so you can keep your relationship or have the relationship you want. And because God is loving and merciful, and that's what he's searching for, is a contrite heart. So I just read to you again that Solomon says he's the author here. He's trying to give people wisdom. But what good is that wisdom of intellect if you don't follow your heart? And I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about the heart is where the will is. That is where you're supposed to do the will of God. So the wisdom is supposed to help you do the will of God. But people can reject, like Solomon did. He rejected the wisdom and essentially just went after the sensualities. So as if one wife isn't enough. But he had 700 plus 300 concubines. It makes me wonder, does he even know who they are? Like if he sees, one walking in the palace, like how would he know that's one of his wife or his concubine if he's going to mix them up? Oh, you're my wife. Oh, no, you're my concubine. Oh, you're my concubine? Oh, no, you're my wife. Oh, give me a break. What's going on with his mind there? He actually, in chapter 7 of Proverbs, he actually talks about false attraction of adultery. He said, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So put it on your iPad. Put it on your iPhone. Put it on wherever, if you're using Android. He says, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight to your intimate friends. He says, to preserve you from loose women, from the adventurous, meaning those who want to keep on going out. You know, like they don't want to be at home. They want to go out all the time. You know, and also they're just loose as far as their inhibitions. In fact, like trying to get other guys to, you know, to flirt with and to try to entice, get attention. Same thing with the other guys doing the same thing. If you're married, you shouldn't be doing that. And so chapter 7 talks about how these guys or these girls try to plan out to commit adultery. And so, again, but as good as this is, it's like we need to engage our will and to figure out, Lord, is this what you will for me? Help me to do your will, Lord God. Help me to be a lover of your heart. Help me follow you and do what's pleasing in you. And then when you start getting closer to God, that can be the impetus, the stimulus, the catalyst to bring the one you love along with you to heaven. Now, St. Paul actually talks about what you call unequal yoke, or marrying people who are of the same belief, but one's belief is stronger than the other. And then also he contrasts that with somebody who is not a Christian. You know, that if the husband marries a non-Christian, or the wife marries, is a Christian, but marries the husband who's not a Christian. You know, that can be done with the hope that you can bring that person into the fold. You know, it's kind of like what you call a missionary marriage, but those aren't usually successful. And St. Paul goes into detail about that. I don't have the time. I'm not the expert in that. Although, you know, I'm married. Me and my wife are of different race. We're of, thanks be to God, the same religion, and we are equal of yoke. So that really helps. And even the same thing when people talk about in Scripture about the oxen, they usually have the stronger, older one that is carrying, has a yoke on a younger one, but who's also strong, and the younger one learns from that. So not to say that a husband and wife are two oxen, but the point is that you can have the same yoke on there, and one can be younger or older, one can be stronger, and the other one can be a little weaker, but you can pull the same yoke. And this is kind of how it's like with our bodies, right? Men are usually bigger and usually stronger than women, and, you know, taller and such. So in the same way, we can do so spiritually. We men have to make sure we bring our loved ones, you know, our spouse, to God. That's our duty as a man, husband, and father, is to bring our spouse, our wife, and our children to heaven, and vice versa for the spouse, the wife, that her duty is not only to bring herself to heaven, just like the husband should bring himself to heaven, but bring the spouse and the children. That's real success. What good is it if you have that house, and you have a second house, you got these luxury cars, you know, of these kids, and they're losing their faith? I mean, you just see it right and left on the internet about all these various celebrities who were claiming to have these great long marriages, and then they're on to their second, on to the third. If it was so great, then how come they have so many now, right? And so this is where we have to ask God's help and mercy. We're all sinners. We're all weak. But the thing is, God has mercy that we can turn back to him. But despite all our problems, whether we were unfaithful, or whether we were unchaste or committed adultery, or whether we were divorced, God is merciful and knows that what you need, and wants you to come back to him with a contrite heart. And he will accept you and love you because you know you admit what you did was wrong. That's the first thing that we all need to do, right? is to admit that we're wrong. It's just like, you know, as a medical doctor, how do we as doctors have patients? Usually it's because a patient recognizes some sign or symptom that's wrong. They admit that they're wrong. They may not know what's causing it, and that's why they come to a doctor. Well, our Lord, He is the divine physician, and we need to go to Him what bothers us, right? If there's something not right in our heart, if we can't sleep well at night, if you wake up extra early because you can't sleep, or you can't go to sleep even though you're dead tired, or you feel so sad, like you just want to cry all the time and you don't know why, or you feel lonely even though you live in a crowded house, or you have friends, but it makes it seem like nobody cares. Well, many times it's actually because of something stirring in your soul that's urging you to get closer to Him, to repent. There's something not right. And some of us don't want to admit it. But think about it. It's kind of like pain. Like if you have some sort of pain and you kind of wince at it, let's say it's something in your stomach and you think, it's just an indigestion or something, or I just need to go to, you know, have a bowel movement or whatever. And you keep on having these pains and it's intermittent, just keeps on coming and coming and going, but it keeps happening, you know, every other day, then maybe every day. Now you're losing weight. Now you're feeling weak. Well, that might be cancer. See, but the initial thing is you're feeling pain. You're feeling something wrong with your stomach or your bowel movements. Well, these are the signs and symptoms that there's something up going with your body. Well, if there's something there in your soul, it's going to make you restless. It's going to make you not have that peace of mind. And I'm not talking about feelings, okay? It's like it's something like inexplicable. There's something not right. So you might not have done something, you know, gravely sinful, but something is not right either with love of God or love of neighbor. And this is where, thanks be to God, we can go to Him, the divine physician, in the secret of our room or even in a car, or go to church and just pray to Him. Let your heart out and ask His help, like whether you're feeling lonely or that you want to meet somebody, you want to marry somebody, or that your marriage right now is you're having a hard time. The Lord loves you and He has mercy on you. And seek His heart and soul. Don't get caught up like we see here in the people that turn their hearts and soul away from the Lord. And many times it's because of sexuality and meeting and being with the wrong people. So this is why, please, of all things, if there's anything that you're going to remember from this particular episode here for St. Valentine's, is to go to the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon himself. And then you can see here about what are some of the advice, things so you can avoid. There's practical warnings about what to do and what not to do, and also just, you know, how to get wisdom, but how to apply it better than actually Solomon, because, again, he was swayed by foreign wives in the sense that they did not know the true God. So they were foreign in that way. Yes, they're from they're not Jewish, but the take-home is we should choose somebody that will bring us closer to the Lord Jesus, right? Not false gods, false religions. There's only one faith that the Lord brought to us, and that's Christianity. And so I hope you enjoyed this program, everybody. We're at the top of the hour now, so I thank you again for joining me. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you.